chapter 6. While they're collecting those, I'm going to recap real quick. I'm going to finish this series, The Birth of a New Spirit, when Jesus... Pardon me? Oh, yes. We also had a loss here. Marge Gieselin has passed away. I mean, remember Marge. She came to the second service there. She was a sweet lady. We would sit down and talk, and she always had a kind word. She lived to be 91. How many of us, that's glorious. I want to live that long, glory to God. But I just want to make you be mindful of that for Diana and Jerry. Give your condolences there. But now in glory. How many of us, that's a great graduation. You miss them in the natural, but man, knowing that they're not missing much here. Hallelujah. So glory to God. So amen. When Christ comes into our lives, we become a different person, a new creation. The old passes away, behold, all things become new. I want us in this room to live up the potential of what that is in us, the Holy Spirit. How many want to walk in all the promises of God? You want to walk in the fullness of that. You bear the image of your father and mother. You bear that image. You also bear the image of also the first Adam who sinned, because all have sinned and come short. But that means also when Jesus came, he's called the second Adam. That now we bear the image of the earthly, we can bear the image of the heavenly. That your natural appearance may be the same once you go to the altar. I mean, God may clean you up a little bit. But the truth is that you still look the same. But inside is different when the Holy Spirit is there. When your spirit is alive, you're a different person. Truthfully, for the first time, you can overcome sin and death. Hallelujah. Now, the last enemy to be destroyed will be physical death. The truth is that we still have that in our lives, but one day even that's going to be eradicated. I mean, that's going to be awesome. God didn't want us to be in heaven for a certain amount of time. He wanted an eternal relationship. I appreciate that about the Lord. Amen. That God's provision is so great, no matter how many people will be there, he'll be able to meet the needs of those people. Isn't that cool? I always ask this. Are you worried about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, and what you're going to stay in heaven? Has it entered in on any level? It's amazing to me that across the board, universal of everyone who is born again, you're not worried about it because God has it all together. He said, listen to me, I take care of the birds. How much more can I take care of you? But when God's Spirit comes in our life, I'll recap from last week. I mentioned last week, this new birth produces a moral and spiritual change, not a physical one. Now, your physical being may get better, but the truth is you look the same even when you get saved. Last week, I mentioned this new birth produces a changed heart, our will, our emotions, our desires, our life and conduct. Last week, I mentioned that you get a new Lord. Say amen. Jesus said this, I'm not with you, I'm not for you, who can be against you? But how about this? If I'm not your Lord, who is? When Jesus looked at the Pharisees, he said, you're of your father the devil. I mean, that was a real shot. Sometimes we think Jesus is such a wussy. He preached the word of God. He did it in love, but how many knows that he still spoke the truth? I wonder how many churches really want Jesus to preach in their church. How many of us, we need the Holy Spirit in service. Last week I mentioned that since we have this new birth, we've been adopted into one family, one with another. No matter what your family background is, when you become a Christian, we're into one family. We're baptized into one Lord, one body. How many of us, that's awesome? No matter what color our skin tone may be, we're in one family. Say amen. How many of us, that's good news? I said that's good news. Christ in us, the hope of glory. That a lot of our brothers and sisters, we haven't even met yet from around the world. Many times when we focus in on things of Christianity, we live in America, we have this American-sized Jesus when he's global. I said he's global. And a lot of our brothers and sisters in other areas don't have the freedoms we do. But we can see our own freedoms being eroded. The enemy does not want Christ lifted up. We know more about COVID-19 than we do about Jesus. It's time to lift him up. I know that's real today in the land, but it's time to lift him up. He is our only hope. Let me ask you this. Do you believe God's able to take this virus dried up and blow it away? Yes or no? How many believe that in this room? Let me see your hand. Then let's seek the Lord in that area. The second thing, how many believe Psalm 91 can come alive in our families, that no plague come near our dwelling? Does anybody believe that? Then let's speak that upon our families. Those that may not be walking in faith, plead the blood over them. Because I learned this, that in the land of Goshen, when the death angel passed over, if you were in the house, God looked for the blood. He looked for the blood. Amen. Hallelujah. And everyone who was in there, whether they were a believer or not, were still spared. How many of you, the blood's still powerful today? I said the blood's still powerful today. Amen. Well, it leads me to this. We're taking notes. The new birth consecrates us to serve God in holiness instead of sin and Satan. Well, nobody in here wants to say, hey, I'm serving the enemy. But when we serve our flesh, how many of us that dictates we follow? Our sin nature does not go after God. Our sin nature only is opposed to the things of the Lord. It's only the new nature that goes after God. That's why you can go to church all your life and still not get it right if you don't ask Jesus in there. Just because you walk into a building doesn't make you right with the King. We have to have a change of heart, which is a new spirit. When I look today in Romans 6, are you there? Look at verse 16. It says, know ye not, who you yield yourself to, you become servants to obey. Whether it's sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. When you ask Christ in, he brings a change. But the Bible says, what you yield to, are you yielding to sin and death or righteousness and life? I want to yield myself to the Lord. I mean, that requires something. I share with the first service, temptation is like a magnet. When there's an area of your life you feel tempted to, you're kind of drawn to that area. Anybody know what I'm talking about? How many have failed more than once in one area? Let me see your hand. How many felt miserable after you were tempted, but you didn't want to do it, but you did it anyways? Okay, I'm in a good crowd here. How many had a time to come back and you said, Lord, I don't want to do this, but I still did it. I feel miserable, but God, I ask you to forgive me and change me. How many knows he was still faithful? Then how many still blew it after that? After that. The truth is that sin nature is still there. It's the best way I can describe it. Paul said, I should be doing this and I'm not, but what I don't want to do, I'm still doing. But thanks be to God who gives me the victory. When you get saved, instantly you have two natures in operation. The nature of sin and the nature of Christ in us. That's why what I yield to, I follow. But I got to crucify this area. My flesh raises up daily. You can leave service today and still get in the flesh before evening comes. Oh, nobody in here. I mean, sometimes, Lord, I got to watch that. I need to yield myself to righteousness. Now, we have these roundabouts today. I don't like them. My wife loves them. I don't like them. Because now, for me, there's 100 other cars that could care less whether I yield or not. So I'm watching, and it goes, my GPS goes, turn right at the third exit. Third exit? Was that the third one that I go to? Is that the third street there? And in my mind, I'm kind of working that out. But my wife's like this. Just turn left here. Just turn right here. She's got it down. To me, that's frustrating. I'd rather have a street light. Turn left. Here we go. But that's just me. Amen. Europe has them all over, so we kind of adopted that. But the truth is that as long as I'm on the right path, that's what I need to know. But sometimes when I feel like I'm on the roundabout, I miss the exit. And then I got to go all the way around. Lord, let me in those times pick the right path. Then, Lord, speak a word into my situation. Sometimes we're repetitively failing because we follow the same path. Lord, help me with this. There's nothing wrong with going to the Lord and say, Lord, I have this struggle. He knows it. You're just giving him opportunity to speak into it. That's honesty. I believe that the Lord's able to help anyone with any situation. That's why we need to be also cautious. Sometimes what God sets us free from, we pick on others from. Oh, look at what they're doing. How about the major sins you were in? How about the sin of gossip you still got hanging on you? Oh, I'll be loving today. I mean, Lord Jesus, help us. Sometimes we point it out when we need to say, man, when Jesus had sin pointed out to him, you ever notice what he did? He went about his business. Lord, we caught this lady in the very act of adultery. Like I've shared before, what were they doing there? To catch somebody in it, you had to be around it. Maybe you were the one before. Maybe you knew where she lived. And what did Jesus do? He didn't even follow that train. I love that about the Lord. Listen, when somebody gossips about you before God, I don't know how much he's paying attention to it. He's just looking for an opportunity to say, woman, where's your accusers? Or how about this? You that have sin, don't have any sin, you cast the first stone. And one by one, they begin to depart. Sometimes we just need to let the conviction of the Holy Spirit from his word work in that situation. And not take it in our own hands and be offended about it. And when the enemy rails on you, wait for Jesus to speak a word for you. Oh, that's good preaching today. Because he will come through for you and he'll speak a word for you. And believe me, all your accusers one day will be gone. I will not stand before you at the throne. Say amen. You only got to stand before God. So get your life right with him. Hallelujah. And encourage others to do the same. That's good preaching today. In Romans 8 verse 1, therefore there is now no condemnation to what? To those who are in Christ Jesus. Now we have to finish the word verse. To those, listen to me, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Many times we like to speak that word. Now, there's no condemnation. But are you still walking in the flesh? I'm in the flesh, but I'm not working in the flesh. I'm not warring in those things. I'm not saying I want to stay there. I want to walk in the Spirit. I know that I'm on planet Earth, but I'm going to yield myself to righteousness. Just like this morning, you yielded yourself to righteousness. Have you ever got up in the morning and said, I don't feel like going to church. I don't feel like going. And then you pushed yourself and you did it anyways. How many ever found that that moment God met you and all of a sudden it was an unbelievable blessing? I mean, sometimes you got to get out of the flesh. That's why in the morning, I have to stir myself up. I leak at night. No matter how much I've been filled with the Holy Spirit, some of you are like, what? Pastor leaks. What's wrong with him? The truth is this. I got to get refilled in the morning. What was yesterday is yesterday's. I got to top the tank off. I am in an imperfect vessel with something perfect in me. The Holy Ghost. Then, Lord, I want to yield myself in righteousness. You know, can I speak this to you honestly? Amen. This happened a couple weeks ago. This dear saint was praying for God to bring increase in her life. Earnest, honest, diligent. And then 2 weeks later, I encouraged this lady, look, be faithful and God will bring it in. I didn't see her anymore. Somebody came into the service and said, do you know where this person is? I have a blessing for them. And I said, I'm sorry, I haven't seen her in a while. I mean, sometimes we need to be in position after we pray too. So God can bring it upon. Now, he's able to bring it other ways. But how many knows that he brought it in? Listen, if you're praying for your family to be saved long enough for them to come in. Hallelujah. You preach Jesus and him crucified, live it out. And life is short anyways. Isn't it? I'm realizing that it's winding up quickly. More than ever. In Colossians 3 verse 10, having put on the new man, which is renewed after the knowledge of him who created. We're in the image of him who's been created. That's Christ Jesus. Put on the new man. That means I'm yielding myself. I'm going to walk in it. There are times that we have default settings. that if this happens, I do this. If this happens, I say this. That's got to change. That's still of the old nature. Sometimes you got to look at yourself and say, you know what? I'm going to handle this different. I'm going to walk through this. Sometimes if you're pushed into flesh, you're pressed out of shape, see what comes out. If Christ isn't oozing out of those times, start to fill that vessel more. And believe me, the closer you get to the Lord, the more the enemy's going to push on you. Keep going. When you're squeezed, I want Jesus to come out. Hallelujah. I don't want to call it Jesus juice, but man, if you're going to squeeze me, let Jesus come out of my life. I want Christ to come out. Many times when we start to get squeezed in our life, a little bitterness comes out. Amen. Maybe a little flesh manifests. Who's woke up grumpy in here? Okay. Yeah, don't point at somebody else. Yeah, my wife's a grumpy one in this household. Praise the Lord. Yeah, don't do that. You'll get that love look, you know. Well, what about the rest here? What about you in your life? What happens when you're pressed out of shape? What sets you off? Those areas that we need, that still old nature. One day that old fleshly nature will be torn away. When God says, I'll bring it a consuming fire, one day I will be without sin on any level. That's going to be so awesome. Think about it. Everything that's sinful in my life one day will be consumed because he's a consuming fire. Won't that be awesome? And have a body likened unto Christ. That's going to be awesome too. That's why heaven's going to be such a pure place that if currency is needed, no one's going to touch your stuff. No one will even think about stealing from you. Say amen. Jesus said in this lifetime, thieves will break through and steal. People will do evil. But there, no, it doesn't happen. You will not even enter in. But here's the truth about it. I don't want some secular song in my heart and mind when I'm standing at the very throne of God forever. Lord, burn that out. Say amen. Lord, I want what is holy. That's why we need to be careful. Our spirit is so vast that we're easy to pick up things. And I learned this, the longer you serve the Lord, the more susceptible you are to other things. That we need to be careful. I've been in a store, heard a song, find myself singing in my car. And I really wasn't paying much attention to it. And there's been times where like, I don't want to sing that. Anybody ever came against something like that? Okay, I asked you about a month ago, how many of you have been to worship and a vile thought go through your mind during worship? Or maybe you just wandered off for a moment, still singing the words. Maybe even during my preaching, you're thinking about something else. Tiger says, no. Truth is that we can do that. We have this flesh along. Are you enjoying this time? It says this, now the works of the flesh are manifest. Now, I mean, the works of the flesh are manifest. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, drunkenness, murders, revelings. And as Jesus said, all these are there, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, temperance. Against such there is no law. The works of the flesh are obvious, so should the works of the Spirit be in our life. Lord, I want to live my life where if Marcia needs some joy, it can come from my life. If Marcia needs some love, it can come from... Shouldn't we be those people? That means in our life, in that garden of our life, there is fruit that can be enjoyed. How many of us that takes a process? Sometimes we're like, Lord, I want an instant. No, a tree takes time to grow. And the Lord has grace in these things. When you become born again, when Christ comes in, there's a change. But from that change now is just seed. It's now need to germinate to a full tree. Every potential is there. You can get to heaven by being saved, no doubt about it. But if we want to be a fruitful believer, I need some joy. Boom, here it is. I need some peace. Boom, here it is. If we're fruitful in the things of the Spirit, we'll never be barren. Does the Lord have a right to come to our garden and pluck some joy off? Come on. How many of us, sometimes we got some dead branches around. The Lord has a right to come in and do some trimming. And trimming, it's never, believe me, a trim tree sometimes, unless you're a real sculpture, looks like you hacked it up. Sometimes you may feel like you're hacked up, but God will always grow it back in. Like I shared, when the power company came to my brother's tree, had this beautiful maple tree. But it started to go towards the wires, and man, they did not care. They took his tree and cut half of it right down. So there's one beautiful side here and barren on this side. And I chuckled. I go, Mick, I'm so sorry, bro. Your tree looks horrible. He goes, yeah, I come home from work and look at it. I understand, but could they have just shaped it a little bit? But it wasn't long before what was trimmed came back even better. It made it more full. Listen to me. We need the Lord to trim us. It's never pleasant. You will not like it, but it produces something greater. Because God will allow us to grow. Sometimes we grow out of balance. I've seen that in the kingdom. Sometimes we're so hung up on one thing that we miss out on everything else. Say amen. How many of us, the enemy will make a major out of a minor? Lord, I want it all. We're part of one kingdom, His kingdom. Praise the Lord. Are you enjoying today? But when God's Spirit starts to work in us, we start to produce. Well, I want all the fruit in operation. Taking notes. The new birth brought a renewal for righteousness and true holiness. In Ephesians 4, verses 27 through 32, it talks about don't give place to the devil. If you're a thief in here, don't steal no more. But work with your hands. I mean, that's good counsel. How about this? Don't let any corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is edifying. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be done away. These are what we need to do. If you like to steal things, don't do it anymore. Say amen. Come on. Good counsel. How about if you got corrupt communication come out, change it so it's edifying. Did somebody greet you today? Did somebody say, I'm glad you're here? If nobody did, you do it. Hopefully somebody did. Sometimes we're away, well, nobody talked to me. Well, then you talk to somebody. This isn't kindergarten in here. And nobody talked to me. I'm not coming back. Mama. No, you talk to them. Sometimes we want everyone else to do it. No, you do it. Johnny stole my stuff. No, come on. No, then reach out. I know for a fact the Lord greeted you. For you got it. Hey, I watched over you all night, he says. I sung over you and I greeted you. Lord, good morning. Then edify. That means take that nature that's of Christ and put it in operation. Your sin nature has bitterness, anger, clamor, you name it. But my new nature can build somebody up. When Christians build somebody up, it edifies the Lord. But if you can't tell the difference between the Christian speech and the world speech, there's a problem. There's a problem. Well, why should the kingdom doesn't even advance? Now, that doesn't mean a correcting word can't come, but you know what? Everyone in here has the potential to build somebody up. Yes or no? Do you know you can make somebody's day? Come on, you can build somebody up. We need that today. And some of you in here have the gift of encouragement. It just flows from you. It's a natural thing in your life. Use it. Use it for God's glory. Amen? This new nature brought forth, listen to me, the new birth brought a change in nature. And what I mean by that, we now have been justified freely by grace, that now my new nature can step forth like never before. First service, I really pushed my voice. Romans chapter 3, verse 24 and 25. Being justified freely by His grace, we have redemption that's in Christ. I've been justified freely by His grace. Now that new nature can live forth. Now think about Jesus. Did he go around doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil? Yes or no? Did Jesus speak the word of life? Did what he called forth happen? Was there any miracle that he couldn't perform? Yet without sin. I'm going to get to the place where Peter says this, extraordinary miracles were done that Peter's shadow casted over people could heal. That's pretty phenomenal, wouldn't you say? That all those who laid people in the streets, even if his shadow came over them, they were made whole. We're living way below the potential of all that we can live, even today. Somebody say amen. Come on, we need that. How would you like your shadow bring healing to somebody? Glory to God! Then we need to start realizing that that sinful nature is still around, that we need to crucify that. The Word of God works differently in these areas. It brings to life His Word. Do you know if you're found in God's Word with a steady pattern, the Bible says that it's healing and health to all your flesh. I need that. We all need that. Come on, this tent gets old. We get some holes in it. Amen? Say, God is good. Somebody say, God is good. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new what? He's a new what? Creation. The old has passed, behold, the new has come. I like that. Then I don't have to work and live in the old nature. Well, that's just my old man. That's just my old flesh. Can't help it. You can help it. You couldn't do it before you were saved, but now you have no excuse. There is no reason why we should walk in the flesh when we got the Holy Ghost. Amen? I need to yield myself to instruments of righteousness and crucify that area. I'm still working on people who cut me off. What are you working on? I don't say anything, but sometimes like, you can cut me off, but don't do 25 into 55. Nobody in here. You're all perfect in this church. Amen? I'm waiting in that spot. My turn signal's on. I've waited for the car to pull out, and another car pulls right in there. Praise the Lord. My first thought is, oh, the Lord has a better parking spot for me. I just know it. That is so far from the truth. That was my parking spot. So you thought I was going to get all spiritual and go, oh, praise the Lord. Another time for God to move. No, my first thought is, hey, Lord, help me. Amen? Now, these are basic things. But what puts you out of place? There's something. But how am I going to get to the place where, like, man, the enemy can find nothing in me? Like he did for Jesus. He could find nothing in him and he had to leave for a season. Imagine how frustrated Satan was when the first time ever this guy didn't sin, he didn't yield, he didn't fail, he used what was powerful. All of a sudden, the kingdom of darkness is being rocked. Everyone else has failed but him. Can you imagine all of a sudden now in the kingdom of darkness, it's like, we got to get rid of this guy. We got to end his life. We got to do away with him. Satan didn't have the revelation knowledge by putting Jesus on the cross would have destroyed his kingdom. That was far from him. Hallelujah. Yeah. Then I want to get to that place, Lord, help me in these areas. Now, how many here have ever cussed before? Let me see your hand. You've swore at least once in your life. I know it's hard to admit in front of your mama or your dad. How many have swore at least once? Let me see your hand. How many have swore twice sometime in your life? Is that 100% in this room? Okay. Even your pastor has cussed before. Oh my God. This is a heathen church. And there's been times where I went, ooh, I didn't know that was in there. Or I need to root that out of there. Amen? But before you're saved, you let it flow and didn't think anything of it. You let your mind go wherever. You thought about anything and said anything. Notice the change in your nature. That's a good thing when you recognize. I'm as God is working in you and through you. Continue in that. Because we're on that journey. By the time you leave planet Earth, I want God to work in you and through you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Because that's the greatest reward you'll ever have, is to be like Jesus. And I've learned this. If I'm like Jesus, I'll reach people. If I'm like Jesus, I'll talk to people. I'll be able to help people. If everything in your life could be pulled out and consumed that's not of Christ, how much of Christ would remain in all of us? How much of His Word would still be lodged in there? That should be a quest. And we're all getting old quickly, aren't we? Look how things are passing by. Sometimes it's rapidly moving. And bless God, 2020 can go away as far as I'm concerned. Amen? Amen? Can you handle a couple more? I'll go quick here. The new birth gives us favor. Somebody say favor. That's a new standing before God. In Romans 5, verses 1 and 2, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I like that. We've been justified by faith. We now have peace. It also gives us favor in heaven. That no one on the planet, listen to me, Jesus said, even angels long to look in the blood. You are the only ones in heaven that have failed and get a second chance. Angels who left their first estate with Lucifer are gone forever. So we have a testimony that even angels don't have. That once we were lost and now we're found. But with that, now we have the favor of the Lord upon our life. You are highly favored in the kingdom of God. That's why the enemy and his cohorts, every demonic foe, hates your guts. You are favored in heaven. Here's how favored you are. You can approach the throne of grace and find help in time of need. Your citizenship's in heaven. How many knows that? Man, you can walk right on in. In the book of Revelation, it talks about the New Jerusalem. It has 12 gates. Each one is one pearl. There's also an angelic host on each gate. You'll be able to walk right through that gate without a problem. Because your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen? Hopefully you'll stop at the gate and go, dude, one pearl? That's pretty sweet. Say amen. The wealth in heaven's unbelievable. The beauty in heaven is unbelievable. And yes, there will be flowers there. It isn't going to be this sterile place. All of a sudden it's just going to be like, well, this, wow, I expected a whole lot more. None of us are going to have that. You're going to be like blown away. Oh, man. Even the angelic hosts, when God reveals all of them, you're going to be fascinated. Oh, I wouldn't go down that road. Say favor. How many knows God to give you favor? Grace and favor be upon your life. Believe me, He can do it. He can grant those areas. You can also pray for favor. Amen? I shared with you when we were coming back from a missions trip, we had a stop over in England. We were in London for a couple days on our way back. And I was burned out. When you're leading a team, you got 25 people. It's a lot. This one particular trip, we had to buy water. We couldn't drink any of their water. And bottled water in Europe's unbelievably. It's like buying gasoline in Europe. Man, I was spending over $100 a day, just the team alone. You only budget so much money. I thought, well, at least we could drink some of the water. So, man, I was like, Lord, you got to prosper. Well, by the time the trip was done, I was pretty burned out. Everyone was safe. Everyone had a great time. God did some great, phenomenal things. And I remember being in the airport like, Lord, I'd like to stretch my legs out for 8 hours here. That's all I said. I got up to the counter, and this lady, don't know me from anyone, she goes, are you with this team? I go, yeah, it was a great time. We did this. She said this to me. I never asked. I didn't prompt it. Nobody went up to her and said anything. She says, you know what? I'm going to upgrade you to first class. I looked at her and said, cool. Here's the spiritual thing. Oh, no. I don't deserve that. Lord, put me next to the bathroom in the back. How many think I said, thank you? Yes or no? Don't get all spiritual and say you don't. Well, this particular plane had the double deck. It had the people here. It also had like a 20-person upper deck right above the pilot. It was awesome. I mean, I tried to touch the seat in front of me. I couldn't do it. Like, they catered to you the whole thing. They either left you alone or did everything for you. How many of you, it was an awesome flight back? How many of those God will still give you favor? Amen. Yes or no? Yes. I rejoiced in God all the way, amen? I looked at it down out that window and said, man, I've never been this high up in this plane before. Glory to God. And then they learned my name. Mr. Lang, can we get you anything? I go, I don't drink anything, but I'll take a soda. Okay, boom. Cool. Say amen. I mean, that was awesome. I wasn't trying to make anyone feel bad either. I was glad I had a chance for the next 8 hours to stretch out. God will take care of his own, won't he? You have divine favor on your life. Sometimes you got to come against some of that other stuff. Say no, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God, you'll make me the head and not the what? Sometimes you got to stand upon that. No, in the name of Jesus. I ain't accepting this. I'm walking through what God has for me. Hallelujah. Ah, God is good. Amen. Amen. I'll close with this morning. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 21, it says this, if a man therefore purge himself of this, the works of the flesh, he'll be a vessel of honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared for every good work. Let's purge ourselves from all that fleshly stuff that are ungodly. That I love this verse, that we're fit for the master's use. How many want to be fit for the master's use? How many want to be a vessel of honor? I do too. Sanctified. That we're ready to go. That means, Lord, unto every good work, I want to be that. In my flesh, there's every evil work. But when Christ is in me, every good work, that means your whole life can be a reward. Because Jesus said, even a cup of cold water I'll bless you for. Lighthouse, I want us to walk in that. That we're people of character. That we can meet the needs of what's going on. But when the world comes in, and believe me, revival is chaos. It is not organized religious group. You're talking about raw individuals who God has moved upon. That we need to be ready. We got to walk in maturity. Can you handle it if somebody's cussing down the hallway? Can you handle it? You got enough character in you? Oh, no, no. I ain't going to that church, man. They were cussing in that church. Amen? Somebody may have an addiction. Maybe they lit one up before they came or when they leave. Oh, no. Can't have that? Can you handle it? Jesus can handle it. Can't clean a fish before you catch it. And how were you when Jesus met you? How raw were you when Christ worked in your life? Let's be mindful of that in these days. If the fruits of the Spirit are operating in you, you won't be offended. You won't be ticked off. You'll just be what God wants you to be. But if you're in the flesh, it'll burn you big time. It'll repel just like big time. No, let's walk in the Spirit. Every time Jesus dealt with sin is because he loved the individual. And that brought change to the individual. Amen? Can I say this to you? God caught you in your very sin. And somebody may have accused you right before him, but what did he do? Go and sin no more. What does the world need to hear? Come on, you have the words of life in you. Let's walk it out. Enjoy this morning? Let's walk in that new nature. How many of you have that? As we close here, how many here have areas where you get some victory and you fall back into that area? Let me see your hand. Be honest. Okay? Secondly, here is, how many have some default areas where if this happens, you respond this way? And you know sometimes it's got to change. Anybody here? I do too. Lord, I want to change that. Amen? How many here have seen some change in your life, but you notice that more you get closer to the Lord, the more sensitive you become, the more the attacks seem to arise. Don't give up. Keep going. That's part of the victory. And last here, I don't want to yield yourself as righteousness and resist the things of the flesh. I'm with you, church. I want to walk in that. I want to be that person. And last here, is there anyone here this morning say, Pastor, I need to get my life right with the Lord. I want to make sure everything's covered. I want you to just lift your hand too. Okay? Okay? I'll pray for you. Amen. Church, let's close in prayer here. Pray this with me. Lord Jesus, everyone in here, Lord Jesus, forgive me of all my sins. You said in your word, if I'd call on your name, I would be saved. So I ask you right now, Holy Spirit, come live in me and change me. I'm sorry for every failure. Father, I thank you for sending your Son, that he died for me. And I believe that Jesus died for me. And I believe that he arose from the dead. So I thank you, Father. Now place that Spirit in my life. Change me now in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Every failure, cover with your blood. Help me to walk in character and every day. In Jesus' name, amen.